Good morning, family. We are so glad you can join us this morning or evening, depending on where you're at. Or maybe early morning for some of you. It's a beautiful day today. Regardless of where we're at, it's an opportunity now for us to just respond. I want to just invite you, as we do every week, forget what's around you, forget what is known, and just allow yourself to be free to worship, be free to sing, be free to give praises to our Lord, and let Him know that He is worthy of song, He's worthy of celebration. And it's in these moments together that we're going to praise Him, even though you feel it's just you in your own room, we're all singing. So don't feel left out. So just participate through this. But before we do, if you bow your heads with me. Father, we thank You, God, that we're in this place on this Memorial Day weekend. God, we are privileged to be here. And Lord, I thank You for Your ultimate sacrifice. And we'll also have an opportunity in this service just to celebrate those who have gone before us in this great nation. But Lord, we celebrate You. You gave Your life for us. And I pray that You be glorified in us and all that we do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Hear the holy roar of God resound. Watch the waters part before us now. Come and see what He has done for us. Tell the world of His great love. Our God is a God who saves. Our God is the God who saves. Sing it out, come on. Let God arise. Let God arise. And a church will stand, she will endure. 'Cause He holds the keys of life, our Lord. Death has no strength, no final word. Our God is a God who saves. Our God is the God who saves. The God of here we go. We're going to sing it out. Our God is a God who saves. Let your voices be heard all throughout. Our God is a God who saves. Our God is a God who saves. Oh, our God is a God who saves. God who saves, He's here in this place, wherever you find yourself. He loves us. He chose you. Even while you were still a sinner, to die for you. And that's why we sing. That's why we celebrate. That's why we have joy. Because we have a hope in our God. Hallelujah. We want to sing in that truth, that understanding. Sing of His love. Sing of His grace. Sing of His mercy. Let's lift our voices. He is jealous for me. He is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree. I'm bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden, and I am unaware of these afflictions, eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affection is there for me. Oh, how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us so. Jealous, sing. What would that mean? He is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree, I'm bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions, eclipsed by glory. I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affection's there for me. Oh, how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us so. Oh, lift up Your voice in praise. you love us. Oh, how you love us. Oh, how you love us. Oh, how you love. Yes, you love us. Yes, you love us. How you love us. Creation there at the start before the beginning of time. No point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath. The planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. In vain, no syllable empty or void. Once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so alive, I can see your heart in everything you say. Painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation sings, obeys you, so will I. So will I. So will I. Stars are made to worship, so light. The mountains bow in reverence, so light.
the ocean for your greatness, so will I. For with everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sun of all our praise will still fall shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion times. Oh, through all of my failure and pride, on a hill you created, the light of the world abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Well, you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart and everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. But see your heart 8 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love, then so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times. But one measure could amount to your desire. You're the one who never leaves the one behind. You never leave us behind, God. You never leave us behind. So we say we love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Just want to encourage you right in your place. We're just going to sing a love song to our Lord. Hallelujah. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love. Let's sing that again. I could sing of your love. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Sing of your love forever in this place. I could sing of your love over the mountains, over of the mountains and the sea. Your river runs with love for me. And I would open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth. And I will daily lift my hands. For I will always sing of when your love came down. Come on. I could sing of your love. Sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love. I could sing of your love forever. 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 Place right now, we sing to you. Just lift our voice. Oh, we could sing of your love. It's indescribable, God. Can I fathom your love, Jesus? Oh, God. Hallelujah, Lord. God, right now I pray that, Lord, your people would in freedom be able to worship you, to sing of your love, not be concerned about all that's going around, that right now, God, in this place, their focus is sure. God, and I pray you'd receive a praise and a worship that is worthy the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are our great God. And right now, Father, as we invite you here, continue to speak in our hearts, Lord God. Amen. Amen. Just want to just celebrate what God's done. But in this Memorial Day weekend, I just want to make sure we have a time right now to honor those who have gone before us, who have gave their lives of service and died for this country, for their families, and for all of us. We thank you.
They stood side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and answered the call. They moved forward, advancing the ideas that everyone was free, everyone was created equal, everyone has the right to pursue their own dreams, and that our nation was founded on those ideals. But not all of them came back. Some remained, never to go home, never to see their families. And some we lost this side of the field of battle. They were sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, greatly loved. They charged forward for honor and peace and freedom. We acknowledge the empty space where we want them to be. Together we pay sincere tribute to those who fought for us, those we remember, those we love.
Would you just spend a moment and pray with me? Let's thank God for the great country that he's given us. And we thank God for those that have paid the ultimate price for our freedom, and others that have given their time and sacrificed much. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for those who have given their lives over centuries for this place that we love. We know, God, that you are not American. We know that you love all people around the world, but this is the place that we call home. And there have been times of conflict, and we are blessed to be one nation under God. Even though sometimes it doesn't appear that way, but your hand is on this land, and we thank you for that. God, I pray in Jesus' name that this Memorial Weekend, you would comfort those that have the memories that of people that have been lost serving our country, some years ago, some more recent. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would comfort them, that you would bless them. God, many did not give their lives, but they suffer. They suffer emotionally and spiritually and mentally even because of the things that they experienced while giving their time of service. I pray, Lord, that you would touch them and bless them as well. Encourage them. God, speak to their hearts today and let them know that you love them. And we just want to offer thanks, not only to those that are in military service, but those that serve in all areas to help make this place that we live a blessed one. Our first responders, our law enforcement, our emergency care people. And we have many in our congregation that serve that way. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bless each one. Let them know that we appreciate them and that your hand is on them. God, we thank you and we give you glory for this weekend. Help us, Father, to enjoy what you've given us, but never forget why we have it. That your blessing is on us and we have a lot to say thank you for to those that have given their time. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Good to see you, Abundant Life. Glad you're here, and glad you're here worshiping with us. Before I get into today's teaching, I want to give you just two brief announcements. Two. One is our food drive. It's still happening every week from Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. When you go to the store to pick up your groceries, just pick up a few extra items. Come to the church, drop them in the barrels out front, and when they're filled up, we call West Valley Community Services, and they come pick them up. And we're able to help feed people in our community that really, really need that. I've been in touch with Convoy of Hope, and Convoy has fed over 10 million meals during this pandemic. Now, Convoy hasn't been functioning specifically in our area, but West Valley Community Service is doing really the same thing, that they're feeding people every day as those come to them with need. Some have need now that didn't have need before. Because they've lost their job and their funds are just low, so they need that help. So please take advantage of the opportunity, and let's be Jesus in skin and provide for them. Also, Second announcement is next Sunday, we open a new series called Faith Works Family. We've been working through Faith Works all year and learning how the life of faith affects us and how living by faith, not by sight, is so crucial to our living in the Spirit and living in the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. And so our family is maybe the most important organism outside the church that God needs to be in and he needs to transform. So starting next Sunday for 7 weeks, we're going to talk about Faith Works Family. We'll talk about marriage, the roles of the husband, the roles of the wife, the roles of parents, the roles of children to the parents. We'll talk about good sexuality. We'll talk about singleness. And it's going to be a great series. You'll enjoy it. Make sure you come and invite someone to watch with you. Very shortly, we may be able to come and worship together in our sanctuary. But until then, just let somebody know that we're here and that they can get some great, great teaching each Sunday. So now today is Rally Sunday. 3 times a year, we focus on our small groups, our groups in common. And at this time especially, it's so important that you stay connected. It's so easy just to kind of get separated in this time when we're not meeting regularly. And so it's really, really important to find your connection. I want to show you a video of some of the brand new groups that are happening. We have 20 groups that are meeting this next trimester, most of them on Zoom, but some of them in other creative ways. So the video is 2 or 3 of the new groups. If you want to find the rest of the catalog or the directory, you should have gotten an email this week with 2 ways to find that. One, we have our brand new Abundant Life mobile app now available, and all the groups are on the mobile app. Second, there's a group finder on our website, so you can go there and find the full directory as well. If somehow you didn't get the email or you missed it or lost it or something, go to the website on the connection and prayer area and send us a note in there, and we will make sure to respond with the information on how to get the directory. All right, well, let's check out some of these new groups.
Hi, this is Steve Cox. I'm an elder here at the church, and I lead a small group ministry called Groups in Common. Today is Rally Sunday, and that's the time in the year when we sign up for new groups or perhaps re-enroll in the groups that we've been in. In a moment here, you're going to hear from a couple of group leaders to talk about what their groups are doing now, and then later on, I'll tell you how to sign up for those. So enjoy this.
Hey, this is Rick. This is my wife, Leah. Or maybe it's the other way around. This is Leah and her husband, Rick. Anyways, hey, just wanted to let you know that we've got a group going on. And what's the name of that group?
Digging Deeper.
Digging Deeper. All right, so our group is going to consist of a few things that's going to be happening. What we'll be doing is, one, we're just going to spend a few minutes talking with each other, just going through our week and seeing what's up and what's going on. And then we'll have a few laughs. And we'll be reviewing Sunday's message to the max, just going over Pastor Greg's sermon, talking about that. We'll also be talking about some parables and just going through all of that and just learning a little bit more about what the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples and how we can be better Christians. So Leah, when are we going to meet?
We will meet on Wednesdays from 7:30 to 8:45 p.m.
All right, Wednesday, 7:30 to 8:45. We look forward to having you guys join us. We're going to have a great time. All of our contact information will be found on the website in the Groups in Common section. God bless. We love you guys. Bye.
Hi, I'm Pastor Jim.
And I'm Leanne. Hey, Jim, how much do you love C.S. Lewis?
Well, he's one of my favorites.
Me too. In fact, I love him so much I have a C.S. Lewis quote tattooed on my wrist.
Well, I'm not going to go that far, but I do want to invite you to our Groups in Common called A Summer of C.S. Lewis.
We'll be reading through several of C.S. Lewis's classic works and then discussing them over a weekly Zoom call.
We'll be meeting on Sundays at 3 p.m. Hope to see you there.
Hi, Lifers. This is Pastor Angela. I want to invite you to join my group this summer called Parent Q. What is the Parent Q group? It is a platform for parents to connect and grow and learn together. In this group, we'll discuss a variety of topics that will help us to create a thriving home atmosphere that is centered on Christ. We will meet every other Sundays at 4 o'clock to 5:30. I want to invite you to come and partner with me in learning how to do parenting and how to do a messy home life together.
That was awesome. Thank you, group leaders. So, there are actually 20 groups available this trimester. And if you're interested in one of the groups you've just heard from or in one of the other groups, you can go to the church website, www.alagonline, look for small group ministry and click on it. You'll find a link that will send you to an application where you can find all of the groups, the ones you've just heard from and the other groups that are available this trimester. So pray about it. And I hope you find a group that you're interested in. Thank you. God bless.
Hope you take advantage of that. Let's get into the word this morning. I want to talk to you about 5 steps to avoid spiritual drift. 5 steps to avoid spiritual drift. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, there's a verse. And I want you to grab your Bibles and say this verse with me. And then we're going to also jump ahead into Hebrews chapter 10 a little bit later. But the verse reads this way: we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Let's say it again together. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. That's a crucial verse. See, very rarely have I ever seen anyone, and I might say I've never seen anyone, who has been on fire for God, hungry for Jesus, seeking Him with all their heart, and then very quickly just flip and say, I don't believe in God anymore. I don't want to serve Him anymore. I'm done with them. That just doesn't happen, in my experience at least. What I have seen, though, many, many times, is a slow, gradual drift. That someone has been hungry for God, passionate for the Lord, seeking Him, serving, and just giving his life or her life. But little by little, things get in the way, distractions come, life changes. And over a period of time, there's been a cooling. And there's been a drifting away from where that person was at first. Kind of like the clock. How you look at the clock in the morning and it says 9 a.m. and then you blink your eyes and it seems it's noon already. Or the day is over. And you didn't see the hands change, but they were moving. Or during the shelter-in-place time at our home, my wife and I have been planting plants, and Sandra's involved in planting vegetables in the garden. And you plant them, and you don't see anything, and you don't see anything. And then suddenly, almost, it appears that there's the vegetable that's there, and it's growing. Well, it was growing all the time. It was a slow process. It was gradual. And then there was our realization of what was actually happening. See, it's not hard to drift away. It's actually very easy to drift. Typically, all you have to do is nothing. If you just do nothing, you'll drift, like sitting in a slow-moving stream. If you're not swimming against the tide, you're going with it. And it's very easy just to become lax and just slow your pace and hunger for God. And then before you know it, you've drifted away. Now, you can always get back, but it's a hard process getting back. Not only hard getting there, but the time that's lost that you could have been growing, now you're spending that time just getting back to where you were. The drift, it's a dangerous thing. Drifting looks like a decreased hunger for God, a gradual lessening of your time in prayer or time in God's word, a decreased desire to serve others or to participate in the body of Christ. It could look like a growing appetite for things outside of the family of God or outside of the disciplines of God. You can find yourself having a growing criticism even about the things of the Lord or church life. There's a gradual substitution of life-giving connections that you used to find in the body of Christ, and now you find those maybe not so much your passion, but life-giving connections outside the body. So you're feeding your soul, not with godly things, but with ungodly things. There may be a growing callousness toward other avenues of pleasure or entertainment that maybe a while ago would have been very distasteful to you, but now they're what you want. And it's a strange change. It's drifting. It's very, very easy to do. The scripture said, be more careful and pay more attention, because it's easy. We've got to focus and pay attention to our lives and what we do. And I know for me, in this time of shelter in place, some of you are very busy. You're maybe even more busy now than you were before. For my household, I'm working slightly less because I don't have to drive all over the place and meet people, just get on the Zoom and meet them. I'm saving about 10, 12 hours a week just not being in my car. For Sandra, her business is pretty much shut down. Her clientele is seniors. And so she's finding herself having a lot more free time, and it's easy to get out of routine. And so we're kind of creating new routines to keep us on point. I'm a routine person. I need those things to keep me going. But when they're kind of violated and disrupted, it's easy to kind of let those disciplines drift off. Let me ask you a question in the chat bar. Think of a time when you would say you were most hot for God. You were just passionate and hungry and seeking Him. Think of that time when you thought, man, that was on fire for God during that part of my life. How does that compare to where you are now? Maybe you're more desirous for God now. Praise the Lord for that, that you're going deeper, you're pressing in further. But maybe you're less. Maybe there's been a drifting. It's good to take an evaluation to help us understand that. Today, I want you to focus in with me, and I want to give you 5 ways to counteract or to avoid that spiritual drift. The first 2 are directed toward God. The last 3 are directed toward each other. And that's why I'm teaching this to you today, because our groups in common are one of the main vehicles of keeping us connected and therefore counteracting spiritual drift. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 21 through 26. 21 through 26. In those verses, 5 times it says, let us. Let us, let us, let us, let us, let us. I'll call this the salad passage, the lettuce passage, so you won't ever forget it. 5 times you're going to have lettuce, okay? 5 lettuce statements. The first one is this: let us draw near to God. Principle number 1 to avoid spiritual drift: draw near to God. Here's what verse 22 says. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near to God. And we can do that confidently, with full assurance of faith, because we know God will accept us. Come into the presence of God daily. You might not feel like drawing near. Maybe it's because you're feeling guilty. You feel ashamed because you know you haven't been doing the things that you ought to do. And sometimes it's hard to look God in the eye. We just don't want to face Him because we know we've not been doing the right things. Listen, this verse says, come with full assurance. God's grace is sufficient. God's mercy is present. He's not mad at you. Now, He doesn't want you to continue doing what you're doing, but He's welcoming you. If you want to draw near, He'll welcome you in. Some of us don't want to draw near just simply because we don't feel like it. We've kind of drifted, and now we kind of like this other part of life, or these things that we're entertaining ourselves with. Listen, don't ever forget. Don't ever, ever forget. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If things that are happening in your life are counter to God's word, even if you feel like doing them, we'll recognize that they're going to cost you. The thief never stops and never gives you a break. He will steal, kill, and destroy. Come near. God is welcoming you. He says, my doors are open. Come boldly to the throne of God, the Bible says. So we need to press in that way. Come with full assurance. One of my favorite verses: He who began a good work in you is able to complete it. He doesn't demand that you're perfect to draw near. Just come. That's all He wants you to do. Just come. He'll keep you from being tempted beyond what you can bear. He'll never leave you or never forsake you. He'll always be with you. He'll always guard you. When you seek him in prayer, he'll guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. And you know, God already drew near to us 2,000 years ago. And then he sent his Spirit to draw near to us. Make it a habit each day to take this first step. Today, Lord, I'm going to draw near to you. You know, it's fascinating to me. I read a statistic recently. It says that more Christians start their day with their cup of coffee than they do with Jesus. 37% versus 16%. You know, I think Jesus needs to be first in all things. For me, I like to start my day with God. Give him my first and my best. Say, Lord, this day is yours. I want to start it with you. I want to draw near. I want to hunger for you. So number one step to avoid spiritual drift, draw near. It's a discipline. You've got to develop it. Make it a habit. But you'll find that as you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. Number two, hold on to the hope that you profess. Hold on to the hope. Number one, draw near. Let's say that with me, would you? Say it with me. Draw near, number one. Number two, hold on. Hold on to the hope. Here's what verse 23 says. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let me read that verse again. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful. That's our anchor. The word of God and our hope is the anchor. That keeps us from drifting, from floating off down somewhere where we shouldn't be. Sometimes life just is a hurricane. It's going to want to drag you and pull you and push you and just take you to places where you don't want to go. You need an anchor. You need that bedrock. Like Jesus taught about the house built on the rock, not built on the sand. When the storms come, the house on the rock stood firm. It was anchored on the word of God. And the word of God gives us hope. Hold on to that hope. It's there. It's with you. Your hope will be put to the test. Some of you have had your hope tested during this time of the pandemic. It's not the first time it's going to be tested. Your hope will be tested repeatedly over life. Whether your hope gets shaken or not depends on where your anchor is. If you try to throw an anchor in the sand, it's going to drift. There's no strength there. You anchor down in the rock of Jesus Christ and hold on to his hope. You'll find yourself being unswerving. There are some serious things that are going on today. People are losing their jobs. Income is not the way it used to be. And there's fears of getting sick. And lots of people are fretting and fearing and worrying. The Church of Jesus Christ must take these things seriously, yet without fear. Because he's our hope. It's the way we think. We have to think. Remember, we've talked about this for weeks now. Change your thinking, change your mind, change your life. That's become a mantra for me. Change my thinking, change my life. And we've got to align what is true and align our feelings to what is true. Even if our feelings don't feel anchored. You may not feel very stable. You may not feel like things are going great for you. You may not feel that your life is stable. Listen, God says if you anchor in him, you will be stable. You will not be shaken. You will be immovable. Anchor into the hope. Now listen, here's the hope we anchor into. This is all going to pass. It is. And I'm not talking just about the shelter in place, the pandemic. I'm talking about everything we see on this earth. The scripture tells us this is all going to pass. This earth is not our home. The old song says we're just passing through. First Peter says we're tourists. We're pilgrims in this world. This is not our home. This is going to pass away. If we think things are crazy now, oh, just wait. Just wait till you see when God starts to unfold the things out of Matthew 24 and Daniel 9 and the Revelation. It's going to get crazier, and this is all going to pass away. But where's our hope? Is our hope shaken then? No. Our hope is rock solid in the fact that we have an eternity, and it's waiting for us. God right now, Jesus Christ right now, is preparing a place for us in eternity. That's our hope. So that leaves us unshakable today. If you want to avoid drifting, you've got to draw near. Number two, you've got to hold on to that hope. In your chat, what's a favorite verse that anchors you? For me, I just quoted mine, or one of mine, I have many, but Philippians 1 verse 6, where it says, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will complete it, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful for that verse. You know why? Because that verse says, I'm not finished yet. He's not finished with me. I'm not perfect. Man, it drives me nuts when I fail. When I look right in the face of God and I do what I know he doesn't want me to do. It's so convicting and it can be discouraging. But God reminds me, hey, I'm not done with you yet. You're in process. I'm going to complete it. I'm going to complete my work. That's one of my anchor verses. What's one of your anchor verses? What keeps you rooted? We need that in times when the world is kind of shakable. Well, the last three have to do with others. And these are really important as we think about groups in common. Number three, spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Say it with me. Spur one another on. This is important. Here's what verse 24 says. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We got to think about it. Let us consider. Do we even think about how we might lift someone else up? Or are we too worried about how we're dealing with our own stuff? No, this says, think about, consider how we spur one another on, how we encourage each other. If you're ever in a gym, you have a person lifting weights and somebody who's called the spotter. And that spotter is saying, come on, you can do it. Come on, one more. And they may even put their hands on the weight to give a little bit of encouragement. And it's amazing how much strength the person can get when they have someone there encouraging them on. Or like a cowboy riding his horse and he has those spurs on his boots and he gives the horse a little kick and that horse says, okay, I'll go faster. It's a spurring on to get him to go and to get him to move. Here's what I know about spurring each other on. It's very rare you can spur someone on by just telling them what to do. If you say, come on, you know, you really ought to get your body in shape and you should do that while you're in there eating, you know, chips and ice cream. Better to say, I'm going, would you come with me? That's better. That's how Jesus spurred us on. He said, disciples, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Come with me. I'll show you how to do this life. That's what Jesus was about. That's how he spurred people on. He said, come with me. Back in the early part of the century, we all, of course, still remember 9/11. And I'm always fascinated by the story of Thomas Burnett Jr. on United Flight 93, a man who lived in Pleasanton, California, not too far from here. And on his last words with his wife on a phone call from that plane, he told her that this was going to be my last goodbye because we're planning to do something. And what an amazing sacrificial story that saved thousands of lives. Because people together spurred one another on in that plane and said, we're not going to let this happen. And yes, their plane crashed. And yes, they lost their lives. But they saved countless others. I'm also familiar with the story of Teddy Roosevelt Jr., President Teddy Roosevelt's oldest son. He was the only general to land on the beaches of Normandy in World War II. Story goes that Teddy Roosevelt Jr. stood in full view of the enemy, walking back and forth along the beaches as the young boys came out of their boats and scrambled to the beach, and there was horrible bloodshed. But Teddy Roosevelt walked back and forth, almost impervious to the danger, shouting to them, come on, boys, keep going, keep fighting, don't give up, keep pressing on. We're celebrating Memorial Weekend. There are a lot of people who know what I'm talking about. Those that served in the military. I never did. I took my father, though, last year to an honor flight where veterans get together and they go to the memorials in Washington to remember and to be honored. And they recall the stories of being in life-threatening situations, but having people beside them spurring one another on, doing things they didn't think they could do because someone was with them. You know, we're not in a physical war, at least on our shores, but we're in a spiritual battle all the time. We need to spur one another on. toward love, toward good deeds. In today's climate, it's easy to spur one another on with anger, with negative aggression, with complaints, with criticism. It's very easy to say, it should be this way, it should be that way, and to spur one another on in that matter. Well, Jesus said, spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Therefore, then, giving your Father in heaven glory. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ is called to do. And you know, you can spur each other on in small groups in a way that you can't anywhere else. I'm in two small groups. One on Friday mornings, that's just men. One on Tuesday nights that Sandra and I started at the beginning of our prayer emphasis. And it's still going. And you know, we spur each other on. We encourage each other. We share our lives and we talk about what we're going through. And it's never is there a meeting where I don't leave, or when I do leave, I'm getting my double negatives messed up. Every time I leave one of those meetings, I say, I'm encouraged. I'm spurred on. That those people, they lift me up. We need that. Where do you go when you need encouragement? Go to the body of Christ. It's important. You need to have that available to you. Number four, meet together often. Meet together often. Number one, draw near. Number two, hold on to the hope. Number three, spur each other on. Number four, meet together often. Here's what verse 25 says. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. 20,000 or a 2,000-year-old problem, right? Some are in the habit of doing. Some are in the habit of stopping meeting together. Now, if you're listening today, I'm kind of preaching to the choir. Because you're here, you're desiring to meet together. But there are others who are kind of drifting off, not checking in, not connecting. And it's not a new problem. Happening ever since this scripture was written. Some are in the habit of not meeting together. But don't you do it. Press in, keep meeting, keep connecting, keep gathering. However that gathering looks, keep doing it because it's vital for your life. You know, if you neglect the body of Christ, you're actually in sin. It's disobedience because this scripture says, don't do it. God's word says, don't neglect meeting together. So if you do neglect meeting together, that's out of God's will. And it's dangerous for you. So we've got to re-engage that. Some are in the habit of doing, the scripture says. Some are also in the habit of redefining according to their likes and their whims. Oh, well, I don't go to church, but you know, I've got a couple of friends who are Christians, or I have a small group, that's my church, or I watch this TV program, that's my church. That's not what Jesus is talking about. That's not what the gospel is talking about. It's gathering together. You see, we need each other, and God has created this organism with elders and deacons and worship and service and the fivefold equipping gifts and all of the other ministry gifts and all the mechanism that comes with the body of Christ. God designed it that way so that any substitute or redefining is something other. They could be subsets of the full body of Christ, but we ought not to neglect it, and we ought not to try to redefine it. Don't let the family of God become second or third or fourth option. In our family, with our kids growing up, it just wasn't an option. And not because I was the pastor. Not because of that at all. We would be in church every Sunday and say, is it about church, pastor, really? Well, it's not about the building and it's not about the religiosity of the church, but it's got everything to do with don't neglect meeting together. There's value. There's power. There's unity, there's growth, there's connection, there's strength in that gathering together. And our kids, to be honest, they hated vacation. Well, they liked the vacation, but they hated missing Sunday. And they would complain, oh, I'm going to miss being there. I want to be at church. I don't want to miss. Even though we were always in church on our vacation, that they wanted to be home with you and worshiping with you. And I love that about our family. I love that about the kids as they've grown up. They still love the church of God. Don't neglect the church. We need each other. There's power there. The attending is just the first baby step. I want to encourage you to go even deeper. Connect in small groups. connect in service, become a part of the fabric, and you'll find your life changing. All right, number five, encourage one another. Encourage one another. Number one, let us draw near. Number two, let us hold on to the hope. Number three, let us spur each other on toward love and good deeds. Number four, let us continue meeting together. And number five, let us encourage each other. Verse 26, let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Why all the more as you see the day approaching? Because as I already said, it's going to get worse. Sorry to tell you that. If you're thinking, oh, if we just tweak this or tweak that, vote this person in, vote that person in, everything will change and it'll be paradise again. No, it won't. God's word already says in the last days, it's going to be ugly. And as you see the day approaching, we need to continually encourage each other. It's so dangerous to be isolated in those times of trouble. And even in these times of trouble. Because the devil's working all the time. There are temptations all the time. He's a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. The enemy seeks to attack the flock by separating ones off from the flock and then devouring them. He can't take the whole flock at the same time, but he'll separate the stragglers. Find the slow ones. Find the ones wandering off and separating themselves. And those are the ones he devours. And I'll tell you, church, I've seen it happen a million times. Those who drift off, and suddenly, they're not professing Christ even anymore. It's a horrible picture to see. We must encourage each other. And all the more as you see the day approaching. I get encouraged every single Tuesday night. I say this literally. And if my group's watching tonight or this morning, I hope you feel loved. Because it's the truth. Every time we hang up from our Tuesday night call, I turn to Sandra and I say, you know, I love those people. Because you encourage me. You fill me with hope because of your stories and your sharing and your honesty and your rawness at times. I get encouraged. And every Friday morning, I hang up on that call and I say, man, I'm thankful for those guys. They encourage me. They have insights and understanding, and they make comments that I go, wow, that was great. I'm going to use that. I needed that today. We encourage each other. That happens in groups. We need that to grow and to be strong every single week. Are you in a group? Are you connected? The first two, are you connected to God? Draw near and hold on to the hope. The other three are about each other. Are we spurring each other on toward love and good deeds? Are we not neglecting meeting together? And are we encouraging each other? Even more so as the day approaches. That's the combination. God and each other. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus and his body. It's always that. Let's avoid spiritual drift, especially when it's so easy during this time of separation in place. Let's avoid that. And you can avoid that by putting these five steps into place. Amen? Amen. That's good stuff. That's God's word. Before I close today, I just want to encourage you with this. This is a kind of a tangent, but I wanted to say this to the general body, and I'll be putting out more and more statements. We've all been aware of President Trump's statement this week about the church becoming opened again. And I'm so thankful. I'm grateful that he made that statement, that he feels that the churches are essential. We already knew that, but it's good to hear it from our politicians. However, with that statement, I know that there's a broad range of feelings and emotions. That in this whole thing, that there have been those that are really angry and those that are really fearful. And then there's all the feelings and emotions in between. And here at Abundant Life, I know we run the gamut of those emotions. I'm very aware of that. There are those that are that they're just angry at this whole situation. There are others that are very, very concerned and fearful about the situation. And then all in between. And you see, God has called us to be of his kingdom. Not of the kingdom of this world. He's not called us to operate in the way that the world operates. He's called us to a higher level of operation. You see, because our church is so diverse, it gives us strength. It gives us the ability to see life from different perspectives. And it's a wonderful, blessed thing that we're so different. You see, I love the fact that Jesus chose diversity among his disciples. He chose 12 of some of the most different men that he could find. Blue collar guys, white collar guys. My favorite is, I wonder how Matthew and Judas Simon the Zealot got along. Matthew was a tax collector, collecting taxes for the Roman government, while Simon the Zealot was a part of this group, radical, aggressive resistance group called the Zealots, against Rome. How do you put those two guys around the same table and have agreement? Well, you see, that's where love then is shown for what it really is. When you get people of diversity, people with different viewpoints, different feelings, but they submit themselves to a higher calling. And Jesus was calling them to a higher calling so those 12 could function together and be the foundation of the church to come. We need to be that way today. Yeah, I know a lot of you are angry and upset. I know a lot of you are fearful. And the angry ones have a temptation to look at the fearful and say, "What's wrong with you people? How come you don't get this nonsense? It's just crazy." And the fearful ones are looking at the angry ones saying, "What's wrong with you? Don't you know this is dangerous? Don't you know people are dying?" And it's easy to start firing at each other. The Bible says this, Jesus said this, "And they will know we are Christians by our love one for another." So it's not only imperative that we love each other for us and keep the unity, it's also imperative that we love each other for the world. Because you see, this is going to pass. It's going to pass. It may be a blip on our radar screen years from now as we look back, remembering that time. But how we respond to it may have an effect on somebody's life that lasts for eternity. That we could definitely influence someone by the way we respond that may turn someone from Christ or turn them to Christ. And that's what we've got to be watchful of, how we respond. Our Assemblies of God leadership has directed us, obviously, we're not meeting together today. They directed us not to meet today and to be very cautious going forward, being watchful of our local and state governments so that we can always preserve the unity of the body and the witness to our community. That's even more important than our rights. Because, you see, our rights are of the earthly kingdom. And they're good rights. I'm not saying we don't have them, and I'm not saying they're not valuable. They are. But, you see, Jesus often taught us to submit our rights for a higher reason, for a higher calling. You have a right to punch back, but turn the other cheek. You have a right to say, "Get away from me, I'm not listening to you," but go the extra mile. You have a right to take him to court, but give him your cloak when he steals your coat. You see, we've got to be of a higher calling. Now, there is a day and there is a time when we look at authorities and we say, "We will not obey you," because that violates God's higher law. That we will give our life resisting when God's kingdom work and God's kingdom words are violated. We will never bow down to a worldly demand that would cause us to violate God's word. So I don't want anybody to mistake what I'm saying, but in lieu of that, we are to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. Let's be patient. We will open up soon. The staff and the leaders are working hard to prepare for you. I can't wait to see you. I want you back. It's going to happen. But as we work it, let's be patient. And while we do, let's make the most of every opportunity, because the world is in the balance. People in your lives are in the balance. And you have a golden opportunity to show them what a Christian does when times are hard. I hope you'll show them the way. I know you will. I have confidence you will. Love you so much. Don't remember the five things to keep you from drifting. And above all, let's keep living kingdom-minded. And as we do, we'll give glory to our Father in heaven. God bless you. Have a great week. I'll be praying for you each day. Love you lots. See you next Sunday.